Is it inflation causing prices to rise or just a heated economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Wholesale prices rose by nearly 1% in January. Higher fuel and food costs are to blame. But even if you take those things out, which is the so-called core rate, prices grew at their fastest rate in more than 2 years. Peter Cohen has his own consulting firm. He's with us from suburban Boston live to help us sift through these government numbers. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Steve.
What's the data telling us? Is inflation starting to sort of rear its head?
It really is. And the interesting thing is that it's different for companies as opposed to individuals. What's happening is that companies that are encountering higher prices are passing them on to other companies, but any company that deals directly with consumers is more reluctant to raise their prices.
They're reluctant because they want the consumers to keep coming in, right?
You've got consumers that are still suffering. It's 9% unemployment rate. There's something like 30 million people in the country who are either unemployed or impartially and completely employed, and they are not really that eager to pay higher prices. The problem is they have to pay higher prices at the pump, but for consumer products like Pepsi, they are eating those cost increases and not passing on the prices to consumers because they don't want to lose their market share.
All right, so then the question is, when will those prices, those higher costs get passed along?
Well, they'll probably get passed along when the unemployment rate drops to about 4 or 5%, and consumers start to enjoy increases in pay. Right now, if you look at the last 10 years, the median income in the United States has dropped 8.5%. So consumers have been taking it on the chin for the last decade, and so the punchline here is that these retail companies and these consumer product companies are going to have to be eating a lot of their cost increases, and they could really suffer in terms of profitability until the American consumer goes back to work and starts to enjoy an increase in income.
Yeah, punchline. No joke, though, really, Peter. I mean, let's break it down a bit very quickly in about 20 seconds or so. What areas should we be most concerned about as far as rising prices?
Well, you're definitely going to see it in food and any kind of something you buy in the supermarket. For instance, what they're doing is they're keeping the price of toilet paper the same but reducing the number of sheets in the piece of in the toilet paper roll. They're also, cutting back on how much macaroni and cheese they put into the macaroni and cheese box. So they're basically keeping the prices the same and withdrawing from you the amount that they're selling and not making a big deal about how much they're cutting back on what you're actually buying for your money.
Analyst Peter Cohen with us this morning. Peter, thanks.
Thank you.
Also on the radar today, the second largest American bookstore has filed for bankruptcy. Borders is also closing about 200 of its stores. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports now on what Borders bankruptcy means for the book business.
Borders will continue to operate, but it's essentially lost the book-selling battle to online sales from Amazon and devices like the Kindle, iPad, and Nook from direct competitor Barnes & Noble. Joseph Feldman is with Telsey Advisory Group. He says Barnes & Noble at least saw the digital revolution coming.
Barnes & Noble was a lot faster to shift and to try to participate in this whole digital, e-reading market. Borders was late to it, and as a result, I think they've never been able to catch up.
It's hard to catch up when you've been in survival mode as long as Borders. It's changed management, cut jobs, and tried to shift around its debt. Now, with the bankruptcy filing, Borders will close up to 200 locations. And Feldman says that hurts more than book shoppers.
That's a big dent in orders to the book publishers.
Those publishers are themselves scrambling to adjust to the digital marketplace. And with 200 fewer retail outlets for books, that transition speeds up. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, 0.5% or more. The Dow up 53 points at 12,280. New home construction was up about 14.5% in January. The French pharmaceutical giant Sanofi Aventis will pay $20 billion for Genzyme, or is that Genzyme, an American biotech firm based in Massachusetts. Clothing store for the young Abercrombie & Fitch said fourth quarter profits nearly doubled. Strong sales of all those athletic fit shirts that never seem to really make it on the models in the catalog.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. and by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies.
Say you're one of the more than 14 million unemployed people in this country and you're trying to find a new job, and the ads you're looking at say, only employed people need apply. Well, that's the subject of a hearing today at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Minnesota resident Kevin McCall says job postings often have this message: you need a job to get a job.
I definitely see a lot more must present recent work.
McCall has been looking for permanent work since he was laid off from Circuit City 2 years ago.
It really bums one out.
Hoyt Blakely teaches economics at the University of Chicago. He says employers have good reason to want workers with jobs.
Because what the employer is ultimately interested in is how productive that worker is going to be.
And while it may be legal to look at employment status, Chris Owens of the National Employment Law Project says it may also be discriminatory.
A policy that would exclude unemployed workers is going to fall more harshly on African Americans because their unemployment rate is almost twice that of white workers.
New Jersey, for one, is considering legislation that would stop employers from excluding the jobless, at least in job postings. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, rising food prices and threats of global shortages are underscoring the need for seed vaults around the world to protect future crops. Most aren't very secure, though. Rice seed vaults in the Philippines and Australia succumbed to floods and cyclones. Seed bunkers in Iraq were destroyed by war. But one vault, an old mine built by Norwegians near the North Pole, has some added protection. It's elevated to avoid rising water, and the vault is buried deep in permafrost, so seeds will always stay frozen. And just in case there's any human funny business nearby, the area is crawling with nature's own burly guards, polar bears. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
When you picture Russia, pharmaceuticals probably aren't the first thing that comes to mind. So why are so many big drug companies building factories in Russian cities?
If you construct your factory in Russia, you will have better conditions for your business activity in this country.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Big Pharma comes to Mother Russia next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.